It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We got two start pitchers this week. We're going to share which ones you need to make sure are in the lineup. We have Major League Baseball news. The council curse continues. And the Chicago White Sox? A sweep? That's right. And the ever-so-popular ads and drops for this week on the waiver wire. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball!
Welcome into an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, Righteous Felon Jerky, and SeatGeek. We've had a fun weekend of sports, especially the NFL draft, but all of our attention now turns to baseball, and specifically fantasy baseball. I'm your host, Vince Stover, and I am joined, as I am every single week, by the senior writer for Belly Up Fantasy Sports and fresh off of kicking dirt on an umpire, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And, you know, there's a lot of umpires that deserve to have dirt kicked on them. And so, but we're doing great here. And it's cleared up. It was stormy this morning, which leads me to give a shout out to those who are in Nebraska, Iowa, or Oklahoma, among others. I know it was a rough day. Over a rough weekend.
Yeah.
And so anyone that's affected by this, our thoughts, prayers go out to you.
100%. It's been wild looking at some of these videos. My goodness. Yeah, absolutely nuts. So, yeah, prayers out to everyone affected and to those that are still in the path of storms going on tonight, of course, as well. But we are trying to lighten the load a little bit at the very least and talk some fantasy baseball. And do want to first of all, though, shout out a couple of guys, non-baseball related, but guests on the Sports Stove Local Hour. Josiah Ezrim, offensive lineman, drafted in the 7th round by the New Orleans Saints. And then just here a couple minutes ago, messaging with Logan Blake, linebacker. He is been invited to the Green Bay Packers mini camp this weekend. And if they don't sign him, he's been invited to go to New Orleans as well and be a part of their mini camp too. So a couple opportunities for him. So congrats to both of those guys.
Absolutely. Congrats.
Getting opportunities is pretty cool. And I've already talked with Logan about coming back on the show. Once he kind of slows down a little bit to talk about his experiences with these mini camps, and then hopefully we'll get Josiah back on the show too. We had him on not too long ago. So anyways, a couple of football players. If you're a Saints fan, we've got a couple interviews with Josiah Ezrim. If you'd like to go back and listen to those either on YouTube, the Sports Stove YouTube channel, or wherever you get your podcast, the Sports Stove podcast, available there as well. But this show is not about football. It's about baseball. So let's get in to our first segment of the day. We call it our fantasy burner. The Fantasy Burner is presented by SeatGeek, and now's a great time to go purchase a ticket. You plan your summer vacation around somewhere there's a ballpark. Well, you got to go to a game. Maybe you're looking for concerts, whatever it may be. You can get those tickets at SeatGeek.com. Use the code BellyUpSports. You're going to get $20 off your very first purchase. Today, we are looking at the pitchers who are lined up to pitch twice in the week, which typically means they're pitching on Monday in most cases. Sometimes Tuesday can get you a two-pitch week also, of course. But, Kevin, this is kind of your forte. It's something you focus in a lot on waiver wire pickups and things like that. So we're going to start with you. And then if you don't mention the guys that I have, then I'll throw in a couple more.
Okay, so you want to be concerned about this not only for pitchers that you are going to have on your team, but also whomever it is that you're going up against this week, because if he or she has a couple of these guys, you're going to know they're going to get points at the beginning. They're going to get points at the beginning. So you just need to be aware of that. So you might need to make some of the changes of your own. But, yeah, so as far as Monday is concerned, tomorrow, the top pitcher that I have going to the mound tomorrow is Joe Ryan of the Minnesota Twins. And the reason why I say that is because he goes up against the White Sox tomorrow. And I know the White Sox have pulled themselves out of their little tailspin a little bit. But they still rank 29th on the road as far as offense is concerned. And so that should be a big boost for him. He's got the Red Sox this weekend, and we saw what the Red Sox did earlier in the weekend. But that's rather unusual. They're better on the road than there are at home, which is kind of weird, but seeing as how they play in Fenway Park. But as far as two starts go, and Joe Ryan is a quality pitcher, so it's not somebody we're just picking up off the street or whatever. But so if you've got Joe Ryan, which I do, and so that sets me up well. And a couple of guys who you could, we might talk about a little bit later in our ads and drop segment, but a couple of guys you can look at. Bailey Falter of the Pittsburgh Pirates has Oakland tomorrow. And so anyone that goes up against Oakland, you know, that is something you want to take a look at. And then he's got the Rockies at home. And we just saw the Rockies play up there, was it 8,000 feet high up in the air in Mexico City, whatever that is. And their offense fell down there.
Yeah.
And so if it's not playing well in Mexico City or Colorado, it's not playing on the road. So you might be able to make an argument right here. Bailey Falter might be the top guy. So I've got him. And then I've got Christopher Sanchez of the Philadelphia Phillies going up at the LA Angels tomorrow. And except for Mike Trout, that's all they have.
Right.
He's got, like 10 homers and 13 RBIs, so something really crazy like that. He's got nobody to drive in. And so if you can get Mike Trout out, you're good. And then they've got San Francisco at home later on in the week, and the Giants aren't quite the team that a lot of us, probably your dad for sure, thought of when they were coming up with, especially with the signings that they made and everything else. The Giants have been a disappointment so far. So that sets him up well. And then I've got Milwaukee Brewer. Mm-hmm. One of your guys, and he happens to be a Wilson, so you know that goes to the top of my list, and that's Bryce Wilson. Okay,
I like that.
So they've got Tampa tomorrow, which is the worst team on the road, interestingly enough, and then they've got the Cubs, which they can hit the ball, but they're 13th in offense at home, which is kind of weird because it's Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So on Monday, those are the top guys that I'm looking at going to the mound.
Nice. I had Bailey Falter as well on my list. Same reasons, Oakland and Colorado. It's great matchups this week for him. And then the other guy that I had that you didn't mention was Washington's Jake Irvin. Typically, I wouldn't go to Washington for much more past, you know, Gore and those guys. But Irvin's got Monday against Miami, who has been not so great. And then Saturday, Toronto, another team that you look at and go, man, they should be good, but they just haven't been either. And Jake Irvin's, he's been producing a little bit here as of late as well. So I had Falter and Irvin as my two guys that are teeing off this week. And again, pitching. Falter's on Sunday. Jake Irvin will pitch again on Saturday, currently is what he's lined up to do. Again, those matchups, I think, are pretty decent. Bryce Wilson, I'll talk about more in our ads segment, so I won't.
Sanchez will be the same guy, same thing there.
Yeah.
And I have one caution here.
Okay.
Okay, and that's Grayson Rodriguez.
Okay.
Of the Baltimore Orioles. He's pitching well. Yeah. However, tomorrow he's got the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
And they're the sixth-ranked offense on the road. And then they've got at Cincinnati, and the Reds have the seventh ranked offense at home. And so you're not going to sit Grayson Rodriguez, obviously.
Right.
But you want to temper your expectations just a little bit on him, because he's out of all these guys that we could have brought up as two start pitchers, he's got the toughest row to hoe right there. And so just be ready if he doesn't get you 15, you know, fantasy points in either of those games. You're hoping he gets you 10.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I was looking through guys today, and there's several guys who had bad weeks this week, bad starts this week. But you look at their past, and they've been really good. There's a chance that Rodriguez takes a little bit of a hit this week. Although, I mean, the way New York hit in Milwaukee, I'm not sure that they've got anything left to hit. I mean, they swung a lot this week, connected a lot this week. So they might be due for a downspout, that or they're on fire right now and everyone's rolling. So I like Rodriguez. I think he's an incredibly good pitcher, and I think he'll still score some positive fantasy points for you this week. But I understand your caution. I think that's probably wise.
Yeah, I'm not saying bench him. Not saying that.
Right. just the expectation might be a little lower though.
Right. Don't expect you're getting 30 points out of him this week. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree. All right, very good. That's all we've got for segment number one. So a reminder, go to SeatGeek.com. Use that code BELLYUPSPORTS. You're going to get $20 off your purchase, and that also lets them know that we sent you. So we'd appreciate you using that code as well. That's our fantasy burner. Let's roll right in to segment number two, the call to the pin. Our call to the pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. Find your new favorite flavor, whether it's bootleg and barbecue, which is my favorite flavor, or maybe you like something a little sweeter like the Bourbon Franklin, or something like, I don't know, I got all kinds of stuff here behind me. Let's see here. What do I got? The Nelson Mandela is over there as well. There's all kinds of the Marilyn Monroe. That's got some fun stuff in there too. The Fal Capone, the turkey jerky, very, very solid as well. Lots of great flavors. You can find your next favorite flavor at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, STOVE15, to get 15% off of your order every time you place an order. All right, Kevin, let's start with the standings and kind of how things are looking right now. And let's start down in the American League. And well, let's go ahead and go back to the American League East. We talked about them last week as well. Baltimore is just, I mean, they're right there. Baltimore and New York are right there together at the moment. Boston has looked good, but they're not there at that level of Baltimore and New York. And Toronto and Tampa have looked really bad, under 500 so far. I guess my question is, Baltimore and New York, who do you trust more out of those two teams?
It's kind of hard to figure, because New York, they're plus 35 in their run differential, and Baltimore's plus 33. So, you know, we're just kind of picking hairs right here. And I guess I'm going to trust more, and it's kind of weird to say this, but Baltimore, because A, they won a division last year, won 100 games. New York struggled last year, and they've got the spotlight on them because they're in New York 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you go 3-for-5 one day, and then all of a sudden then you go hitless in two games, and you're the worst thing that's ever happened in the state of New York ever. So that's a tough thing. Most of those guys have been in New York for a while, and they're probably a little bit used to that. But pitching wise, I trust Baltimore over New York.
Yeah, I mean, their numbers are so similar. Their percentages at home and away are very, very almost identical. They're both good. The Orioles have played better teams so far to start this year. Orioles are 11-4 against teams at 500 or better. The Yankees have only played 6 games against teams that are 500 or better. They're 4-2. They've won, you know, again, that winning percentage is about the same. But it feels like Baltimore is going to start getting an easier schedule, and New York's going to start playing a harder schedule at some point as well. I do agree with you. I think the pitching in Baltimore is better. Although the Yankees have been far, far better than we thought they were going to be coming into this season as well. I like Baltimore better, and maybe that skews my opinion a little bit. Like I said, the Yankees just tore up on Milwaukee this week. They're showing what kind of firepower they do have. And the biggest question for New York is, can they be consistent? Because these last several years, they really haven't been very consistent.
No. Nope. Every year they go through a cold streak, which they haven't had yet.
Yeah.
And but they've avoided that coming out, because the last couple of years, if I'm not mistaken, they were cold pretty much right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they haven't had that this year, but there's a cold stretch coming, and that's when things tighten up and stuff like that. And you've got managers that get thrown out of a game and didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
And so, I'm still scratching my head over that one. And because they don't like the Yankees. I don't know what's going on there. But it seems like they've got the world always going up against them. And I'm not a fan, not even close to being a fan. So I'm not going to sit here and sing the praises of the Yankees. But so far this year, they have done much better than maybe even Brent expected of them coming into the year.
In the AL Central, I have to admit, this is one of the quietest divisions in baseball, yet Cleveland is killing it. They're 19-9 on the year. Kansas City's 2.5 back, but they're 17-12 on the year. Detroit's still 16-12, and Minnesota just railed off 7 in a row, winning a winning streak, along with the White Sox 3-game winning streak. So obviously the White Sox are no good still.
But right. Cleveland, and they beat Tampa. That tells you everything you need to know about Tampa.
Tampa, yeah. Yeah. But Cleveland is the team I want to focus on tonight, because they really are impressive. They've only allowed 97 runs. They've scored 143. They've got a plus 46 run differential. And they've been really good on the road, 11-5 on the road so far this year. And they're fortunate enough to get to play Houston right now. So, Cleveland, I mean, legit threats in the AL, or just the best AL Central?
Well, the answer to that could be yes to both of those. I think it is. And, because we've seen Cleveland get to the postseason and then go up against the Yankees, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And so, you wish that they had a little bit more health in their pitching staff, but there's not much you can do about that. But their hitters are swinging the bat. They've got pretty good relief pitching and more than adequate starting pitching. So they're in it for the long haul. I would not be surprised to see if Cleveland is maybe 95, 96 wins this year. And so that means they're a serious contender to me in the American League.
Awesome. Let's go to the AL West. Seattle now currently in the lead by half a game, 7-3 in their last 10. And really their defense and pitching has been the storyline for them so far this year. They're not throwing up a ton of runs, but they're also not giving up a ton of runs either. But they're pretty much 500. They're 500 on the road. They're one game over 500 against teams who are better than 500. And they're two games over 500 at home. So even in first place, them and Texas are the only teams above 500 in the division, and neither one of them have shown any real signs of threat at this point in the year.
No, they have not, and that's got to be a little concerning to me, because you know that going 82-80 is not going to get it done. Right. So it's not going to get it done. Houston's starting to show a little life, which we knew they would. And so the Angels, they were, okay. But like I said, got 10 homers and 13 RBIs. It means you have nobody to drive in. And so Seattle, we talk about them every year, and then they figure out ways to not get it done. But they've got the top of the rotation. The best top of the, maybe in the American League overall.
Yeah.
And so when you have that, you could shut teams down and win games 4-2, 4-3, stuff like that. And so you gotta, keep your eyes on Seattle. The reinforcements are coming for Texas. Max Scherzer is supposed to be making his rehab start, so we'll see what happens with him. And I thought more of Lorenzen. He didn't pitch very well this weekend, but I think he can be okay. So it's going to be, to me, it's a two-horse race at this point.
Sure. NL West, your Dodgers are in the lead and pretty comfortably in the lead, yet they really haven't been that great either. And they're only four and
come
five.
Come on, Vince. They just won six in a row.
Okay.
They lost today, but they won six in a row.
So. Yeah. But they're 18 and 12, which isn't bad. But they've allowed 120 runs, which is really not good, unless you look just in the division. In that case, it's great. But if you look outside of the division, that's not ideal. And like I said, they're only 4-5 against teams over 500. So they're not beating the good teams really as consistently as you would think they would with the roster that they have. And again, they've got some guys that'll be coming back before too long as well. But I don't know. That division, the NL West, does not look scary at the moment. We thought Arizona was going to be great, and they haven't been.
Yeah, we thought Arizona was going to be good. We thought perhaps the Padres were going to be better, and so it has not happened so far. And the Dodgers, Tyler Glasnow was pulled out of the game, and that was one of the concerns that you and I both had about him. It doesn't seem like it's anything serious at this point, but if you're talking about injuries, you got to be concerned because everybody's blowing out their elbow, you know, from here to Timbuktu. So he needs to be, you know, the ace, and Yamamoto has looked a lot better.
Sure.
So we got to give him credit for that. After that, look, we talked about that first start up there in South Korea where he just looked like he was a deer in headlights and so, but he's recovered from that a little bit. So you still got to put all your faith to me, even though I'm a Dodger guy, and I'll admit that straightforward. I always have, but your faith, or maybe it's not faith. Maybe it's, you know, loathing. I'm not sure. But so the Dodgers are still the team to beat.
In the East, Atlanta and Philadelphia, both with 19 wins. Philly coming on a four-game win streak right now. Listen, the Mets and Washington are respectable, but they're not in the same race as Atlanta and Philly. And Philly's spent a couple of years as being that really bad or not great regular season and then making the run at the end of the year and through the postseason. This year, they're actually maintaining there at the top of the division. Still a game and a half behind Atlanta, but they're right there where they need to be.
They do. And especially if you're Philadelphia, you're hanging around in Atlanta, you got to figure missing Strider is going to come back to, you know, how could you not have feel that effects?
Right.
Because he's Spencer Strider.
Yeah.
And fortunately for them, Chris Sale has pitched well. And he's another guy you're like, well, can I trust him? I don't know.
Right.
We still don't know the answer to that, but he's looked good.
Yeah. And I'll say this, again, the Mets are over 500, which is a shock with the way they started the year.
They were the worst team in baseball the first five games of the season.
I watched the end of their game today against St. Louis, walk-off home run today by a guy who just got called back up to the majors. So that was a lot of fun to watch. I saw they were in extras and the game was on, so I turned it on and saw the home run. So that was a lot of fun. And seeing the Cardinals lose is never a bad thing in my book. The NL Central is locked in at the top of the division. Chicago and Milwaukee, both 17 and 10. Cincinnati's 2.5 back from then. Pittsburgh has fallen off where they started. And I think we'll wait till the additions to talk about what I think Pittsburgh's about to do. That being said, Milwaukee's been really good on the road. They have not been great at home, but they've been really good on the road, whereas Chicago's been phenomenal at home so far this year. But here they sit. I mean, their numbers, again, very, very identical. Chicago's at a plus 15, where Milwaukee's at a plus 14. Chicago 140 runs for, Milwaukee 142. Chicago 125 runs against, Milwaukee 128. Their numbers are all matching up. The difference is surprisingly, Milwaukee's healthier than Chicago right now.
right, which is something I believe we'll be speaking about a little bit later on as well.
Yes. Well, actually, Kevin, let's just do it right now. It's time to talk about the Council Curse Track. I got a good chuckle this week, actually yesterday on Saturday when I saw the score from the Boston Red Sox-Chicago Cubs game. on that game, and I just simply tweeted out, Craig, I hope you're happy. So that adds on to, of course, the Cody Bellinger rib fracture this week as well. He's the latest affected by the Cubs.
That doesn't help me whatsoever.
Well, it's yes, and that's all we care about. But the reality is, Craig Counsell is doing damage in Chicago because of his backstabbing, and the baseball gods are definitely dropping down a curse over the Chicago Cubs. Their leading fantasy scorer for this week, I forgot to write down who it was, but it was maybe Tauschman, I think. And
he's been pretty good. He's been pretty good. Tauschman.
It's not good for everybody else.
Right. Good for him. And Bush was really hot, but he's cooled down now. And so, you know, all you that added him need to take a look and see.
I think he's back on the rise, Kev. I think he took dip. He took a dip early in the week for sure. I actually dropped him in one league, and I had to hold him in a couple others. And he started to come back around towards the end of the week. So he's definitely one that I'm watching right now for sure, because he gives me that positional eligibility at first and third, which I really like. But, I almost dropped him everywhere. And I had to hold on to him for different reasons. And at the end of the week, he kind of came back around. So not
that
great.
Friday, he was 3-for-4 with an RBI and 2 runs scored. But the rest of the week, let me see here, 6, 10, 13, 17. He's 1-for-17 besides Friday.
Yeah, it was rough. So, it was a rough week. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, I've got my eyes on him. So if he continues to dip, obviously I'll move on from him. But I like the Friday that he had, gave me a little bit of hope that maybe he comes back around, as well. Let's talk about, Jackson Holliday. Did not work out in his first time around, 0.59, batting average, and, just not what we are, 0.59 batting average. Obviously not what we anticipated. A lot of swings and misses for Jackson Holliday. He's going to go back down to the minors. The question is how long Jackson Holliday goes. I am surprised by his failure here in this first time around in the majors. How do you feel about Jackson Holliday?
Well, let me first say, I believe somebody had that they were going to send him back down to the minors. I'll just point that out.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I think that you had a good point last week when you said that they sent him to the minors at the beginning of the year. Set him on a trajectory that didn't help.
Right.
I think that's absolutely the case. And so how long that's impossible to tell right now, because he was tearing up minor league pitching before he got called up. And so how do you judge whether he's ready? I don't know, because he looked ready. And we were like, hey, when is it going to happen? And then Baltimore, I guess, probably watched our show and said, okay, it's time to do it. Vince and Kevin said. So they called him up, and then he just fell flat as just about anybody I think I've ever seen. So they've got to get his confidence back up and get it so that his swing is pure, and then go from there.
He has 2 more hits than I have in the Major League Baseball career. He is 2-for-34, 2 walks, 5 runs, 18 strikeouts in 10 games, 34 at bats, 18 strikeouts. Not at all what I saw coming from Jackson Holliday.
No, nobody could have seen this. Not the Orioles. No, if you're sitting there saying, oh, I knew he was not going to be good. You know, you're not telling the truth.
Lying.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you need to come to some sort of, prayer group or something, because you're not telling the truth. But so what the answer is it, I don't know.
Right.
And, I don't think the Orioles know now what to do exactly with him. They just, like I said, get his head, get it straight, get his swing straight, and then go from there.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this more when we get to the waiver wire. So I'm going to hold a little bit of my thoughts on this for that segment. You know, we've seen a lot of injuries. We talked about Cody Bellinger with the rib fracture. Blake Snell saved us. He got hurt, so we didn't have to watch him pitch again. We'll see what happens with that. It's been an interesting season to get things going so far, an interesting month, a month and a half. I'm intrigued because, Kevin, now we hit this May 1st, and that means that we're going to see more call-ups. And I'm wondering if the Jackson Holliday failure really maybe discourages some teams that, speaking specifically of Paul Skeens out there in Pittsburgh, like he's pitching great. Does Pittsburgh go well? Jackson Holliday was hitting great. He showed up. Things did not go well. You saw Leiter down in Texas come up to pitch a game. That didn't go well, which Leiter is completely different players. But I don't know. Does this have an effect on other teams that look now and go, well, Holliday was the hottest thing coming in, and that did not go smoothly?
Well, I don't – you know, it all comes down to the individual player. And so hopefully you're dialed in to, you know, your player's psyche and, you know, maturity levels and all that sort of thing, so you can make that decision based solely on him.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're the Pirates, you mentioned Skeen, if you're not in contention, what's really the point? I'm not sure, but well,
ticket sales.
Tickets. Okay. All right. So, okay. So ticket sales, we got, okay. And so, just don't ruin, well, they don't ruin people's arms on purpose anymore. Not like it was back in the day when Mark the Bird Fidrich pitched like 19 complete games when he was a rookie or whatever it was. So,
yeah.
So you don't have that anymore. So they, you know, they treat these guys like glass and, maybe to their detriment on that other far side of the coin, but, you know, bring him up, see how he does. And then, you know, they're going to, as they've done in the last couple of years, these young guys are pitching well. So you add them, but then, you know, for a fact that, well, their innings are approaching 90. Holy crap. We can't have that. And then they get sent back down to the minor. So that's just something you have to accept.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Well, this is our call to the pen. It's presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. RighteousFelon.com is where you can go to join the flavor revolution and find your new favorite flavor of jerky. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout to get 15% off your purchase. But we got some things to talk about fantasy wise. And that brings us to segment number three, the fantasy focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all articles containing fantasy advice and opinion. And, of course, it's the place where you can find all of Kevin Wilson's articles as well. All right, we're going to get into ads and drops this week. And then I've also got an extra thing as well with this because I really had a hard time finding drops this week. So what I decided to do was throw in there some guys that you should try to trade for that are playing very well right now. So I'm kind of replacing those for my drops. But I want to say this, if you are adding players this week for fantasy baseball, a couple teams to consider that maybe you wouldn't normally consider, but actually have players available. The Oakland A's is one of those teams. You go out and find who's hot in Oakland because they play Pittsburgh, which is fine, but not great anymore. Now, you got to remember they are not doing what they were doing at the start of the season. They also play Miami this week as well. And the other team is Miami. Miami plays the A's and the Rockies this week. So if you're looking to pick up someone for fantasy, you might start at those two teams and at least see who's available in your league and know that the matchups are pretty decent for Oakland and Miami coming into this week. But let's go to drops first, Kevin, because I've only got one guy, and it's a guy we already talked about in Jackson Holliday, but I wanted to clarify something with him. I have dropped him in every league that's not a keeper league, but I'm still holding on to him in the keeper league. In all the other leagues I'm in, I went ahead and send them packing.
That's totally the right call. And like you said, if you're not in a keeper or dynasty league, then he's got no business being on your roster. I don't care what the size of your, you know, team, you know, what, however many teams are in your league.
Yeah.
Because it was that, as we just talked about, it was a disaster.
Well, and he's not going to be back anytime soon. Like, I'm thinking maybe July. But I don't know.
Right. Let's clear the All-Star game and see where we are with that. But so, you know, like we talked about, I've never been in a league that had NA sots.
No.
And so, you know, I don't know where that concept even comes from. But and back in the normal fantasy baseball realm, okay, it's not a keeper, not dynasty. He needs to be off your roster. I'm totally with you on that. And so we gave it a shot. It didn't work. So,
and remember, I drafted him in four leagues. So I was all in on Jackson Holliday. And when he gets called back,
a lot of us were.
If he gets called back up, though, I'll be the first one back on the train to see how things go. But at this point, like I said, barring injuries, I don't see him coming back in the month of May, at the very least. I think they give him a full month at least back in the minors. So now someone gets hurt, maybe they do give him a shot. But they've got other prospects. Remember, Baltimore has a lot of young talent in their program right now. So, but yeah, I think you got to get rid of him if it's not a dynasty or keeper league. You just can't let him take up a roster spot right now.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right. Who do you have that we should drop? Because like okay, I said, I really struggled finding guys this week.
Okay. So I've got some guys.
Okay.
And one of them, unfortunately for me, is someone that I said a couple weeks ago, hey, see, go out and get him and see how he does. Well, we've seen how he does. And that's Hunter Brown of the Houston Astros. Okay. He's still just below 50% rostered.
Holy smokes.
And yeah, somebody needs to explain this to me. If you've got him on your roster, please let me know, unless it's even a 20-man league. I don't know. But if you're in a 10 or 12-man league, he's got to go. Yeah. He's 0-4 with a 9.68 ERA. All right. And he's walked 12 guys in 17 and two-thirds innings. He's got a 2.49 whip. That's going to be one of the highest whips I've ever seen in my life. And worst of all, okay, there's lots of other things we could talk about. He's pitched no longer than four innings pitched in four of his starts, okay? And Tuesday, we talk about pitchers that you might want to look at as two-start pitchers. This is not it, because he's got Cleveland on Tuesday. Don't do it.
Yeah, and it's not just
throw him out the back of the plane and forget the parachute, because he doesn't need it.
Yeah, I mean, they sent JP France down to the minors this week. And I'm guessing Hunter Brown doesn't have options or something. I don't know what's going on, because he has been horrendous so far this year. So has the whole team, but
so he's at the top of my list. And I got another pitcher, and that's Griffin Kanan, a guy that I was kind of saying, okay, maybe he could do some things. Well, no, he's 1-3 with a 7.50 ERA. All right. He's no longer than five innings pitched in four of his five starts. And he's got the Phillies. You talk about a guy who has a two-start week you don't want to mess around with. He's got the Phillies tomorrow. So cut him, get him. If you got him, it's over. Send him packing.
Yeah. Now, a guy that I originally wrote down, I ended up not keeping him on my drop list, but he's actually on your roster, Kevin. And so I'd like to get your thoughts on him. Ahmed Rosario at Tampa, he's got a ton of position eligibility. He had a rough week as well. And I'm curious of your leash. How long is your leash for Rosario?
It's not very long. Let me just say this. And the reason why he's still on my roster is because they're playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some teams off and tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. So I've got him in two leagues. But like I said, he's got that eligibility. But Tampa as a whole has collapsed. Yeah. And so, so the leash is not long. I'll let him see what he does over the next couple of days. And if it doesn't work, then I'm sure he'll be on my list for next week. But the next thing I want to talk about is somebody who has, I've been routinely kicked in the chop, so to speak, because I advocated, you know, he's got to go. Well, he's definitely got to go now. That's Zach Gieloff. He's on the IL now. So he's not even playing. Right. He, when he was playing, he was hitting 196, 25 fantasy points. He's still ranked up there somewhere around 20% rostered. And it's just not worth it. I'm pretty sure because all of my teams have three IL spots, which are all full at present.
So see, that's why
there's no way that you could put him on your IL.
Yeah. That's why I didn't have drops this week is because there's so many injured people that like all my additions, I was just moving guys to the injured list and adding guys. So when I was searching for guys to drop and there weren't a ton of, I mean, there were some bad games this week, but there weren't guys that were, you know, 50% owned or more that were getting, you know, blown up this week. So, but there's been a ton of injuries.
There has been. And, you know, look at my ILs. I've got Casas, Bellinger, and Robert on my IL.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to go with any of these other guys. And so, you know, you really got to take a look and see if they're on your IL, if they're worth keeping around. And Zach Gieloff is not it.
I like it. I like it, Kev. Any other drops?
All right. So we have, you know, we talked about St. Louis a little bit ago.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that throughout this year we're going to have prominent St. Louis Cardinals in this segment. Okay, and so today's guy is Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great name. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But 187, one homer, seven RBIs. He's in a 2-for-20 slump at present. 25 fantasy points. Got to go. He's got to join his St. Louis Cardinals, which should be all over the waiver wire. Because let's just face it, their team is they're not hitting the ball, and he's got to go. I talked about Jordan Walker last week; he's got to go, and so just I don't know if people out there are St. Louis lovers or what's happening here.
Yeah,
but seems like it would go the opposite way that more people would be Cardinal haters. Sure. But whatever it is, your persuasion, Lars Nootbaar, got to go.
Gots to go. All right. So I've got two guys on the same team that if you have on your roster, now is a great time to trade these guys because they're not doing well, but their name has value and you might be able to add something pretty spectacular by trading these guys. And I think now's the time to do it. At the same time, if you don't have them on your roster and you can throw somebody that's not good, and a trade package to try to acquire these guys, I don't think it's wrong to take a swing at them. They're both guys from the Toronto Blue Jays. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has had another horrendous. He has not been fantasy great.
In the last two, three years, maybe.
Yes. So if you have him, now's the time to trade him. I think you can, because of name alone, you can trade him and probably land one, maybe even two really good fantasy players. Maybe you get a superstar in name back and a secondary guy, a Starling Marte or someone of that level back in return for Vlad Guerrero. So 2-for-1. Chris Bassett is the other one, the pitcher. Okay. He's obviously not the same name as Guerrero goes, but he's got some value to a degree and he's not been great. And maybe you can get something in return, maybe a younger pitcher that's started off decent, or especially if you have a Blue Jays fan in your league, you know, go take a swipe at those guys and see if you can't get some value in return.
I agree with that because I just pulled up Vladimir Guerrero. He's hitting .208, three homers, 10 RBIs, 10 runs scored, and he was 2-for-4 today. But even though he was 2-for-4, he wound up with one fantasy point. So that means he had no extra base hits, and he struck out.
Yeah.
Okay, so the day before that. He should have
8 to 10 home runs.
Right. Yeah, easily. But the day before that, -1 fantasy point. Before that, 1. Before that, 0. Before that, 0. Before that, -3.
Yep.
So it's been a rough go over the last couple of days with him. And so if somebody was to approach me about, I don't think I'd be biting per se.
Right.
I'm just saying because, right. But
let me ask you this. I'm going to pull up your roster real quick.
Okay.
On here. Cause okay, I want to ask you if let's say you wanted to go out and try to acquire, Vladimir Guerrero, you look at who okay. you have. So let's say that, let's say someone called you and said, hey, how about CJ Abrams and Schwarber? Now that's two guys, of course, but for Vlad Guerrero, would that tempt you at all to say, you know what? Schwarber strikes out a lot. Yes, he scores. He's a fantasy relevant player for sure. He's got 51 fantasy points on the year. So right now you'd definitely be taking a hit with that. And Abrams isn't bad either.
No, he's got 6 home runs for a shortstop.
Yeah. So you immediately would turn that one down.
I would immediately turn that down because of CJ Abrams alone. Okay. If, cause Schwarber, you know, look at him. He was 2 for 5 today, but he had 1 hit the whole rest. No, 2 hits. I'm sorry. Before that. So, but you're kind of trade. If I'm going to trade, if someone was to say, hey, I'll trade you Kyle Schwarber, take Kyle Schwarber off my hands and give me that, I might look at that.
You would do a Schwarber for Guerrero trade, probably.
I would do that. I would probably be more willing to do that. And if they ask for a pitcher.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's just say, unless we could maybe working out, you know, something for Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he's been okay, but his 5.14 ERA has not been great. And he's given up 4 runs in his last 2 starts. So if someone says, hey, trade Mitch Keller, I'll give you Vladimir Guerrero, done.
Yeah. Well, I think you should send the trade offer. Let's see here. Who is that?
Okay.
I can never say that guy's name in our league. He owns him right now. The new guy, Cleveland fan. Is there. So I think you should send the trade offer, Kev. And I'd like to see that trade go down. I'm curious how that one would go. So anyways, and I don't even know. I haven't paid attention to see if he's paying attention, but nonetheless.
I don't know either, but he was drafted 31st.
Yeah.
And so my patience might be running out with him.
I think now's the time. If you have him, I think now's the time to unload him. If you don't have them, now's the time to lowball offer for them and see if you can get them. I wouldn't give up, you know, obviously anybody that's killing it this year in fantasy. But I think there's probably an offer that you can make depending on the owner that says, you know what, this guy is trash. I drafted him high. He's not doing anything. I'm so mad about it. And then, you know, I mean, goodness, maybe you can find some Cleveland Guardians on the waiver wire and offer him a trade with the Cleveland Guardians. Who knows? Anyways, there's that option right now too. Let's go to ads. We went on too long on that one.
Okay.
Ads.
Let me just say, cause you mentioned Chris Bassitt. Now he's the kind of pitcher I'd be looking for. Cause I lost Strider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I would be interested in trading for him.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go. All right, additions this week. Let's see if we can roll through these pretty quick, Kevin. Okay. Who do you got?
Okay, so I mentioned Christopher Sanchez earlier.
Yeah.
In our 2-start week, and he's at 14% rostered. Okay, and he's pitching very well. Earned run and last 3 starts each. Okay, and so he's pitching very well. 2-star week coming up. So at 14% rostered, you should be able to get him throughout the land. So he goes right up to the top of my list.
I like it. Bryce Wilson, you mentioned as well. Here's what I'll just say about him. 0.3% owned. He's a new starter. He's coming out of the bullpen. He's been working up to this being part of the rotation. Has he been perfect? No, of course he hasn't. But he has a spot in the rotation now. Wade Miley getting Tommy John. He's done for the year. Woodruff, of course, was out for the year also. And Bryce Wilson's been pitching pretty decent. So he went 75 pitches in his last outing. And the rumor mill has it he's a full go from here on out. So he'll have a normal pitch count, probably close to 190, somewhere in that range. And he'll be starting now. He's got Tampa, like you mentioned on this already, Tampa and Chicago Cubs this week. Two starts as well. I think Bryce Wilson is especially if you're just laden with injuries at the pitching spot, pick up Bryce Wilson. If you're in a Yahoo league or a league that has starting pitchers and relief pitchers, Bryce Wilson's listed as a relief pitcher. And so you can fill him in that slot as well. We don't have those in our league, but some leagues do. So I like that one. You talked about him earlier though.
Okay. So another guy, and this is a veteran guy who I was questioning at the beginning of the year, but he has come around, and that's Anthony Rizzo of the New York Yankees. Okay. First baseman over there. And even though he's got the name recognition and he's only at 18.8% rostered, but in the last 2 days, he's 7-for-8, 2 homers, 4 RBIs, 6 runs, and has hits in 5 of his last 6 games. He's got 4 homers and 13 RBIs on the year. And he's one of those lefty swingers that we talk about who can target that short porch and right field. So if you need first base help, and I'm sure he's probably rostered a little bit more than other leagues at 18.8%. But if he's there and you need first base help, look his way.
Yeah, I mean, New York comes off of Oakland and Milwaukee. They absolutely killed Milwaukee this weekend. But I've got Alex Verdugo on the list also, 24.5% owned outfielder. He had 2 home runs this week against Milwaukee, double digits on Friday night with 4 RBIs, a home run, 2 runs himself as well. He's been in the positive for the last several games, also last 5-6 games. And I mean, the Yankees right now are swinging the ball, swinging the bat really well. So I think Verdugo is another guy, and I may have mentioned him before. You may have, I don't remember, but he's a guy worth rostering right now. He's batting .274, 13 RBIs, 16 runs, 1 stolen base, and 4 home runs on the year. So Verdugo's playing well.
He is. And you know, you mentioned about the Yankees swinging the bats. Well, this guy was one of the few that kept him in check this past week. And we like to say, hey, get your guys going against the Oakland A's, but not against JP Sears.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You like him. Yeah.
He's at 5.2% rostered. All right. And 26 2/3 innings, got a 3.38 ERA, 1.05 whip. And so 6 innings and 3 of his last 4 starts. And we talked about the Yankees. He went 7 innings and 7 strikeouts against them and 1 earned run in his last 3 starts, in each of his last 3 starts. So what else could you ask for when you got no team behind a pitcher, but yet he's still putting up the numbers? And so JP Sears is a guy who's available throughout the land. So need pitching, look his way.
Remember, they got Pittsburgh and Miami this week, and they are right around 500. They've been playing some good baseball right now.
That's right. So he goes right up there to the top of my list.
All right, I got another outfielder, Boston Red Sox, Willier Abreu, batting .309 on the year. He's only owned in 16.8% of leagues, 13 runs, 2 home runs, 11 RBIs, 4 stolen bases. He's getting regular playing time as well. I've added him into one of my leagues and got an eye on him in others as well. And it really seems to be he's batting at the top of the order. I mean, he's getting some good opportunities right now. As well. So I think he's a solid pickup right now.
Okay. I agree with that. And so we mentioned about the Tigers earlier. Well, Jack Flaherty, not a guy that I thought I'd be discussing, but he's at 18.5% rostered. And he's pitching the 6th inning in 4 of his last 5 starts. And he pitches Tuesday versus St. Louis. So that's got to go up to the top of the list. His ERA is not impressive at 4.91, but at 1.16 whip. He's got 36 strikeouts, 4. Let me say that one more time. 4 base on balls and 29 in the 3rd innings. Okay, so that's right there would be a quality place to go on Tuesday if you're looking for a starter. And I didn't research it far enough to see maybe he'd be a 2-star pitcher, but the chances are he could be. So Jack Flaherty is a guy that you're going to want to look into on Tuesday.
And I've got two guys that have yet to play an inning in Major League Baseball, but we are making that turn to May. I mentioned it earlier. You're starting to start getting these call-ups from some of these teams. So two guys that if you have a roster spot you're willing to sacrifice, that I would go ahead and get on your roster. Paul Skeens is one of them in Pittsburgh. Every inclination is May will be the month that we see Paul Skeens up in Pittsburgh. Again, the team has started to fall off a little bit, so they need a little boost. Jones that has been great over there as well.
Yes.
But Skeens, I think, is right around the corner. And then the other guy is Tampa Bay Rays, third baseman, shortstop, Junior Caminero. He is...
Okay. I've heard that name many times.
Yeah, he started the year injured. He's been back now for about 2 weeks playing in the minors. And again, another team that's not great. So what's the point of having this guy down in the minors when you can start getting him some experience against the majors? He is the top guy in Tampa right now, and I believe May will be the month that we see him come up to. And third base and shortstop's a great, great thing to have as far as eligibility goes. And those are two guys that, again, you're going to have to be patient with them as far as you might have. They might not play this week, but I think they're both right around the corner and worth taking a swing on right now.
Okay, so both of those names I've seen discussed prior to now. So if you're going to make a move with any of those guys, you're going to want to do it now because they're in the collective consciousness of, you know, baseball fantasy guys throughout the land. So make the move if you're going to make that move as soon as possible.
Agreed. All right, you got any more additions for us?
Well, just one, and that's okay. Edward, I'm not sure. Julian, second base, DH, which in our league, that's a nice combination because we got a DH spot in our league.
Yeah.
He's at 12.1% rostered. Okay. And this week, he went 3-for-5 in a game with 3 RBIs, and he went 2-for-4 with 2 home runs.
Oof.
So he's playing, he's hot. And second base is a place where a lot of people need some assistance. So if you're looking for a second baseman, Julian is a guy that I would look at this week.
I like it. I like it indeed. We got guys in our league that are crushing it. Chase Thornton, Dan DiMicco, both former champions in our league. They'll go 5-0 now on the season. I've had a down week this week, just barely scraped over 200 points. But I've had a lot of injuries. I'm not too worried about that. But Kevin, what I did want to hit on is during our draft, we mentioned a couple players where we said we're going to keep an eye on them throughout the year and match them up.
Okay.
Had two guys that you liked. I had two guys that I liked against, you know, head to head on these guys. So I wanted to give us an update on where we are. The first combo was third baseman. Mm-hmm. You had Eugenio Suarez as your guy you liked. I said Matt Chapman was going to show up. And you said, give me Suarez all day over Matt Chapman. Well, they're pretty close. Right now, Suarez, 44 fantasy points. Matt Chapman, 53 fantasy points. Neither one of them killing it or crushing it, which we didn't think either one of them would kill it. But they're right there, neck and neck right now. So that's a fun one to keep an eye on throughout the year. The other one, though, I'm really proud of, Kevin. So you had a chance to draft catcher Adley Rutschman. You chose to pass on him and take Atlanta third baseman Austin Riley. And so I thought, well, let's see how that one's going down. At the moment, Austin Riley, 49 fantasy points, Adley Rutschman, 69 fantasy points. So do you regret passing out on Adley Rutschman?
Yes. When that happened at the time, because he was a catcher.
Yeah.
And so, but he wasn't a catcher DH.
Right.
Okay. Maybe that's what they're, cause he's playing.
Yeah.
And so he's in their lineup. So, and he's a young guy. And so, yes, that was a mistake. Even though I like Austin Riley and I like the team he's on, but Adley Rutschman is a talent that's, you know, comes along once in a lifetime.
Who's your catcher?
Who is my catcher? That's an interesting point right there because
Wilson Contreras?
No. Hang on.
No, I do not. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I had Gabriel Moreno from Arizona, yeah, which is on the IL.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I had, and I just made it move. Okay, let me pull this up right here. Luis Campusano, because you dropped him. I picked him up.
San Diego.
I dropped him for Gary Sanchez, your.
Oh, that's right.
Gary Sanchez.
I saw that actually earlier. I forgot. Yeah.
Okay. So,
so
my catcher is Gary Sanchez. So if you're asking me which is the better catcher, the answer obviously is Adley Rutschman.
Yeah. But I'll say this. Rutschman is fourth right now in fantasy points. William Contreras from Milwaukee is killing it. 94 fantasy points. Perez right there behind him with 92 fantasy points. I was wrong again this year on Perez from Kansas City. Will Smith, 76.
I believe I called that.
You did. You did. I did. Yep.
I had him third.
Will Smith third from Los Angeles is 76 points, and then Rutschman's at 69. So Contreras and Perez are the ones that are absolutely phenomenal to start off this year. They're tier one catchers at the moment. Where Smith and Rutschman and Jeffers and the other Contreras is having a bounce back year would be tier two guys at the moment. So there is that little fun exercise. We'll keep an eye on, maybe like every month we'll check back in on these guys and see how they're doing. Cause I think Riley will find his groove at some point and start playing better. It's just, man, just hasn't been, I mean, Riley, Acuna, that, you know, if their name isn't Arcia, they haven't been great. It doesn't seem like fantasy or Acuna. Not Acuna, but Azuna, Arcia, which we talked about last week. So
yeah, Arcia's been good, and that's about it. Ozzie Albies was hurt; he's back now, but they're winning despite all that. So that's another thing that's got to concern the Phillies because they're not hitting.
Yeah,
and eventually they will. You know they will.
All right, what do you got coming down the pipeline on BellyUpFantasySports.com this week?
Well, I had a story over there talking about weekend starter, which doesn't help at this point.
Right.
But there will be another article coming out. I'm positive about that. But Tuesday, you're going to want to tune in to watch Nathan and I in our third episode of Pigging Out. We have a lot to get to. We need to, you know, do a draft recap of what happened there. The NBA playoffs is going on. The NHL playoffs is going on. And so there's a lot of things to talk about there. Some things that aren't going the way some people thought, in some ways that I thought they would. So you definitely want to check that out. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern,
okay,
where time begins in America. Okay. So be looking for that, and you could look for an article to drop for me at the Belly Up Fantasy website this week, and so be looking for that.
Very good, and of course, follow Kevin on Twitter, at Kevin62, WILSEA. I've got content coming out this week as well, tomorrow night, Monday night. Well, I'm still waiting on confirmation. I was told last week it would work out and still haven't heard back. But the plan for tomorrow night, 8 p.m., I'll be talking with EKU head football coach Walt Wells. We'll talk through the spring practices, transfer portal stuff, and a couple of his players with NFL shots now with the Josiah Ezream getting drafted and Logan Blake signing or going to minicamp at the very least in Green Bay and New Orleans. So we'll talk to him about those things. And then let's see here. Wednesday night, the plan is Wednesday night. Dad will be back on with me. We'll be talking. What are we talking about this week? Actually, it may be Thursday night now that I'm thinking about it. But either way, sometime this week, midweek, we're going to be talking NFL draft, recapping, grading, all those kinds of things as well. We'll be talking NASCAR with a guest. Also, Dover this week, today, actually. So I'll be talking about the race from today and what is ahead. Also, fantasy picks for NASCAR, all that kind of stuff going down midweek. Like I said, the plan is to do it Wednesday if I can get my NASCAR guest to come on early in the show because Dad's going to be late. If I can't, we'll push it to Thursday. So follow me on Twitter at SportsStove, and I will announce there what day the show will come out as well. But lots of fun stuff coming down the line. I mean, NFL draft weekend was a blast.
And, it was
so excited to talk about all that stuff and on the show and getting out some more opinions. I put some of it on Twitter, but getting out some more opinions on that stuff.
Right. And you're going to want to tune in our, cause I tie fantasy into what's going on in the real world of sports. So, and Nathan's done a pretty good job of putting out some short clips of me putting out some information, and people are paying attention to that. I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. So, so Tuesday, you know, there's going to be some fantasy regarding the draft.
Yep.
And so you're going to want to tune into that. Running backs. Do we want a running back on our fantasy roster? Tune in Tuesday to find out.
Well, I would say you want four or five on your fantasy roster, but you're talking about the rookies that were drafted.
The rookies that were drafted, are any of them worth rostering? I will have the answer for that on Tuesday. Yeah.
And of course, we know it's going to be the Green Bay Packers draft pick from USC. Got to have them on your roster. Okay, enough of that. Follow the show at Sports Stove, Twitter and Instagram. Follow Kevin. Follow Belly Up Sports. Follow baseball. And make sure you keep an eye on your fantasy baseball lineups.
Yeah, so baseball is cracking, and it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of it. So be a part of it.
All right, very good. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Check out our sponsors, BellyUpFantasySports.com, Righteous Felon Jerky, RighteousFelon.com, the code STOVE15, and SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com, with the code BellyUpSports. We'll be back next Sunday to talk all things fantasy baseball again. And until then, well,
that's right.
We'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Everybody have a great week.